Now let's take. We're going to make one last. One of the things that we're going to talk about, prime bets too, and if we're lucky, we'll develop one somewhere along the way. Let's look at prime bets for a minute. The last step in this process for me before I make a prime bet. Yesterday I would have made one, and that would have been elusive road, and I would have lost it if I'd have bet it to win. It did finish in a photo. The last thing you want to do though, before you make a prime bet or really level a horse, is that you want to take the figure that you've developed for the horse and compare it to par. Because what you don't want to be doing in a race that it requires a 102 or a 103 to win, you don't want to be making a prime bet on a horse that's a 99 just because it's in with a few other bad horses. Because more than likely, a horse like Speaking Part, someone will come out of the woods and nail you with that. Because if you're betting a substandard horse as a prime bet, you're making a mistake most of the time. Unless you can certainly disqualify everybody else as having no chance. You don't want to be separating bad horses and then making a prime bet on that separation. It just doesn't work that way. You're going to lose too many of them. So now, this race is a 102, right? What did we make top qualities adjusted number two? 110 and 1, right? That's par. That's what it takes to win a race like this. So if top quality, for example, was 111 and these other horses were less than that, whoever wound up on top in this field with these ones could be a prime bet because it's already matched the winning par for this level. And if you're within a length or so of the winning par, you're in good shape. So top quality could be a prime bet, but to make a prime bet out of this when you got 111111111 is not, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Within a length of par, in other words, top quality could have been 110-2.
Yeah, it could have been 110-2.
Would still be a prime bet if these other horses were.
And the reason for that is that this is not that scientific. In other words, you can't say it has to be ironclad at 102. Because we're estimating, especially using the daily racing form variant. We're kind of estimating. So you want a little bit of leeway. But what you don't want, this horse to be a 98, this one a 97, because what will happen is somebody like Speaking Part will just blow the field away. And if not Speaking Part, it'll be somebody else that does it to you. Nobody should have any problem getting to that conclusion in here, I don't think, huh? And if you're like I am, you got to be a little surprised that you can get $17 on the horse. I mean, because we didn't make any funny adjustments in here. In fact, if we'd have used the variant, these two come up even stronger than they are, and this one falls back to third. Yesterday's form now.
You know what I have been doing? You know that 7-furlong race? What I used to do was to go in and pull out the 6-furlong fraction and use that.
I tried that for a while, and I found that the 6-furlong fraction in that race is always distorted compared to the final figure of the race versus what you would think the 6-furlong would be on the same part-time chart. I found it was always distorted. So if you're doing it and you're satisfied with it, continue to do it.
Oh, I'm not
doing that well. Slower or faster? I don't recall.
I think it was faster. Pretty sure it was faster. But I don't recall exactly which way it went. But I abandoned that one several years ago.
A quarter mile is so much slower. 7-furlong really isn't that energy.
And that is true. As you, one thing we didn't do was match this race up. Tom says that the quarter mile is a little distorted, and it is. When you match up a horse from 7 versus a horse from 6, the horse from 7 will nearly always, at least locally, will nearly always show a deficiency in the first fraction versus the horse that comes out of the 6-furlong race. Nearly always, if the horses are fairly matched running ways. Nearly always, though, that will reverse itself in the second fraction, that the 7-furlong horse will show a large second fraction. Now, that's the turn time fraction, except at 7 furlongs, it's not around a turn. Because when they finish that second fraction, they finish it at the 3/8 pole, and that's just getting into the beginning of the turn. So it's been run on a straightaway. So the second fraction, I mean, if you're into turn time, and it's a very important separating point in these sprints especially, you got to take it with a grain of salt when it's a very high fraction in from a 7-furlong race. Because they do tend to be high with a low first fraction. So as you match up two front runners that come out of 7 and 6, just be aware that they aren't going to quite match up on your fractional readout. That the 6-furlong will show more speed than he probably has compared to the other horse at the quarter, and that the 7-furlong horse will show more speed in the second fraction than he probably has. Just be aware of that. Second race yesterday. There are a couple of very good, important points that we want to make in this race. And it also helps that we nailed this race very solidly yesterday. Let's look at Bold Current for a moment. Is Bull Curran a contender here? Bull Curran a contender in your own thinking? This is a very, very important call in this race. The answer I hear more often is no, I think. All right, now, I would just ask you to justify the no. What are some of the reasons for no? All right, did I hear last race? Okay, let's stop with that. How long ago was the last race?
49 days,
right? So it's kind of unimportant now in terms of current form, isn't it? All right, so the last race becomes, I mean, it's kind of important in terms of the talent of the horse, but it's not a key to this race because the horse has been laid off. It's been freshened. If I had a horse that was running kind of like this horse was at the time, I'd freshen it too. Let me have another reason for the nose.
Okay.
Okay.
14-day gap between his last two. I wouldn't be too concerned about 14. That just means maybe that somebody missed the workout. If they start getting out around where you would have could assume that the two workouts have been missed, then that becomes a little. The workout pattern's all right on this horse. The horse is dropping
in class. Is this a positive or a negative drop? Oh, hell yes. I mean, the horse can't run at those higher levels, but let me suggest something to you. The horse has showed some speed two races back against much, much better. Okay? So, I mean, the horse is not a cull. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. The same thing we did yesterday when we handicapped this race in the morning. What's the par for this particular race? Somebody said it right already, yeah. Well, I heard the right answer first, and I've heard some wrong answers since then. What is the par for this race? It's a 100. The $20,000 sprinting par for older horses is 103, right? These are three-year-olds. That's a three-length adjustment. So what we're looking at now is we're looking at a race that normally takes a 100 effort to win, or something very close to that. Right? Okay, now take a look at the race that this horse did win at Santa Anita, drawing away last three races back, right? What is the maiden 50 par? 100. Now, my question to you, is this horse good enough to win a race with a 100 par to it? The answer to that is yes, isn't it? Okay. This is a contender.
Can you make an argument that maybe the horse just isn't a relative?
You can make an excellent argument for that. Yes, you can. The question...
For anybody that's on the tape here, the question was, can you make an argument that this horse just wasn't a router? And the answer to that is, sure, you can make the argument, because the horse apparently didn't want a router. But it's making a significant class drop, and it's dropping to a level that it has already demonstrated it can handle. And it shows no evidence of handling better. So it's a positive drop. It's dropping to where it ought to be. Yes?
How do you separate that from a horse that has got a bad injury and
laid
off because of it?
Okay, this is
49 days. A bad injury, this horse had been gone for 6 months to a year. It's not a bad injury. This horse has just been freshened a little bit. It's been routed. Now, consider this. This horse was routed off of its sprint win. He routed it on April 1st and turned around and routed it again on April 14th. A mistake both times, right? If he runs a horse back on April 25th, for example, it's running back off a bad form, but it's also running back, if it's in a sprint today, it's running back off of two routes, which never help the horse's early speed. So what has he done with the horse? He's given it 49 days off now. He's worked it okay in the meantime, and now he drops it back to a level that it's proven it can win. The last race is not a big concern here. If this horse had run within the last 2 or 3 weeks, the last race would throw it out on a contender guidelines, no doubt. So if it had run much before this, we'd have thrown the horse out. This is a good move. The trainer has taken some time with this horse.
The horse must have hurt himself a little bit.
Not necessarily.
So
To be out 49 days?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Well, you only had three races. I can't see them being tired or wore out.
Well, no, but I mean, if you've geared a horse up to rout and the horse routed unsuccessfully two times in a row, you might want to give this horse a little time to recover its sprint form. If it disappeared, for example, for 3.5 weeks in the middle of all this training period, then you might assume that the horse has got a minor injury and now they're just dumping the horse. So it isn't the case. So, keep in mind that it won a race with a 100 par and it's back in a race for a 100 par. And that's an essential consideration here. We spent a lot of time with this horse yesterday, too. Quick the Tiger. Okay. Quick the Tiger, right? Contender? All right. Flame driven. Well, I hope not. He's a Pepper. Horse has got speed. It's been bet solidly. What are some of the reasons for no here? All right, this horse is winless. It's never won.
Maiden 32 at Golden
Gate, not that high. Well, in a Maiden 32 at Hollywood, it got to be two lengths in a Maiden 32 at Hollywood, two races back, right? The Maiden 32 part at Hollywood is 98. That means this horse recorded a 96. It will have to compete here with a horse that's already recorded a 100, in effect. That's the way you look at this. And it's never won, and it may never win. You never know. Doc Murray. I heard a no. Well, I don't hear anything past the no. I heard one single voice say no. I didn't hear anybody say yes. He's a contender. He fits the guidelines, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he has the class. He only won a Maiden 16.
Well, let's talk. We're going to come back and address this. As far as the maiden, as far as the contender selection guidelines are concerned, he fits, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's consider it a little further. Roger Stein is a very good claiming trainer in Southern California. Claimed this horse in Northern California for 16, brought it down here to run it at 20. That's a positive sign right there that the horse can do some running. In a moment, let's just not say he doesn't have enough class, because if that's the case, we would have missed Inquisitorial as he came up the class ladder. We would have missed Elusive Road as he went up the class ladder. And a lot of these horses that go up the class ladder, I made the point yesterday with yesterday's class, that as they do this, they do some things you don't expect at times. And if you continue to look back and say, well, this horse has never won at this level before, you lose bet after bet. Then as he comes down the class ladder and he's running in bad form, you say, well, he can run at 25, so he's good at 20. That's the bass-ackwards analysis. The point is, you take them when they're improving. You take them when they're good. And you don't look, I mean, with some of the older horses, you can look back and say, this horse has never performed at 20. Why should I take him at 20? Because he belongs at 12.5. That might be an accurate assessment, depending on how sharp the horse is at that moment. But with these three-year-olds, you can't quite make that. Some of them have very modest beginnings. What it was that John Henry started in very low claiming races. So give the horse a break. Well, if his figure's no good, I mean, we have a way of balancing Golden Gate to Southern California. If his figure's no good, we'll throw him out.
Six out of 7 times. Right.
Yep. And some of them in straight maidens at Caliente. I mean, you're right, he's a trier. But the essential analysis is what he's doing right now, especially being a young horse.
All of the meetings except the last one
won. Now, here's the next horse, is Agitate Borincano. Is this a contender? Well, he's dropping in class, right? Okay. He was up close at the first two calls last time. That's fine. That fits the contender guidelines. But let's not be so naive to think that that's the only consideration. Is this horse good enough to win? That's the next step. What do you think? Do me a quick favor and draw a line between the April 4th and the April 19th races. Now, the win at Maiden 32 at Santa Anita, if you look, he pressed the pace and actually took the lead on a day that they went 46-4 to the half and then 1:13 to the second call. Look at that fraction.
Well, the point is, he still went 46.4, and then he went up and caught the pace, a 26.1 second fraction, even on a slow day. That's pretty dismal. But let's step down and look at all of the races below that line. They are all sprints. Well, what do you think? Can this horse sprint? Well, not based on anything he's ever done. Now, see, if you take the internal fractions of his last race and you drop him into the computer, he'll come up probably as your number one sustained horse. And yet, even after you adjusted it, it's only a 46.5, which is really too slow. I mean, if he runs 46 around here against these horses, he'll be way behind them.
It would probably come out too low.
But why put him in as a contender? Because he's not. He is not. He'll be your number one sustained horse, though. Because generally, when you take a horse's internal fractions, put him into the computer, he'll come up number one sustained because they ran slower to the half and then faster to the three-quarter. And they'll come up number one sustained. So he'll show him the best closer in the race. But when you're dead last at the eighth pole and make up some ground to become the best closer and still finish, I don't know where he finished, but the point is he's not a contender to win this. He can't sprint. Murphy's game. No. Now, let's go back for just a moment to agitate Bar Encounter. Can everybody with that? Everybody okay on that? I mean, any violent disagreements to that?
Well, he's double dropping in class. He would be a tough call for me. These are the kind of horses that confuse me.
Okay.
But then again, I offer what I did before. Check, because you have ample evidence of his sprinting ability.
Well, yeah, but they're all in maiden races. We really don't know if it may have taken that, let's see, sixth race before he finally figured out what he was supposed to do. So then after maiden 32, they stick him in a 50, and he could have just been over his head. You know, 32 could have been over his head. And now they drop him down to 20. It seems to me maybe he's getting close to where he should be, you know, and possibly would be dangerous.
Well, no, I agree with that to some extent.
He's within 100 miles of where he should be. And when Caliente reopens, that's where he'll be. No, I understand. I would like you to see the distinction here. This is just a bad horse. Now, I'll take it a step further. This is also a bad trainer. Now, we're not teaching training, trainers in this class, but this is a bad trainer. Well, he's been around for a while. He's a former rider. He's horrible. He was a bad rider. You're right about that, too. But he is, he's a horrible trainer. Now, if you use his maiden win, it was slow, regardless of the 29. Remember, 23 is the norm at Santa Anita. So 29 is a little slow, but not slow enough to take the par and make it 147.1. That was just a genuinely bad race he was in. Now, the par for that race is a 98, right? Now, he wins a 98 in dreadful time. So you can't say that was, I mean, if that is probably his real ability, is somewhere in that range. His next race, he obviously was outgunned at 50. He ran a little bit and then bailed out of it. Then he ran a little bit next time and bailed out of it. The only races in entire line that he was competitive at the eighth pole was that horrible slow race at Santa Anita. He's a bad horse. A bad horse, too, I think. I think he's just a poor horse. A slow horse and bad, but slow and bad kind of equate to one another. See, the danger, and I would say don't bother, you know, don't worry about it, because he will, the computer will take care of it. But you know what the computer doing? You want to be handicapping these races, and the computer will only take care of him in as much as it knocks him out probably a little bit in terms of his percent early, might knock him out, in fact, W and a couple of other things. But it's also going to push him heavily in sustained. And if you're on a sustained track, he's deceptively sustained. And you look at that and say, God, this is my sustained horse. He can't beat these horses. So that's the danger. Otherwise, the computer would knock him out for it. But that is the danger. If you look at this race and say, I got a pace duel going up front, here's my best sustained horse, I'll bet him. Well, you've lost the play. Verdio, listen, I love this name. I mean, my wife would have bet this horse, just in my honor here. Dirty Old Man. Now, here's a horse that lost last time at a lower level. Okay? 3-year-old, that's not a negative like it is with older. It's just a sign that they're still trying to protect this horse a little bit. So you don't consider this to be it's a little negative that he couldn't beat the lower level, but it's not statistically negative. He just belongs at about this time. They're kind of interchangeable, 20s and 16s and 25, as these 3-year-olds separate themselves. So his last race is good. He's a contender. He was down on the inside at a time when you didn't want to be on the inside, so that's a plus in his favor. Now look at Quick the Tiger and Dirty Old Man, and look at the running lines of their last races. Quick the Tiger was fourth, or 4 lengths back, 5 lengths back, 4 lengths back, and one. This horse was 4.5, 6, 5.5, and came within a half length of winning. What does that tell you about the pace of that race? Not fast necessarily, but doesn't that kind of tell you that whoever was leading was looking for a rocking chair inside the eighth pole? And when you see that, don't get too enthused about the horses that have come out of a race like that. If one horse does that, if one horse overcomes it all and comes up and wins, that's different. But when you can see multiple horses coming up and cutting big margins into that leader in the last eighth of a mile, that's usually the sign of a bad race. I'll prove it to you in a second here.
Why
didn't
we draw
Murphy's
game here?
Yeah, he's too slow.
He's just a slow horse. Turf Paradise horses do not ship successfully over here.
All right, wins a maiden at Turf Paradise.
He has 1 for 16
lifetime. That means 15 of those were in maiden races. Well, actually, he was in more than, he was in a couple of allowance races, too. He's just not, Turf Paradise just doesn't, it's just such a class barrier for those horses.
9 lengths different. Add 9 lengths to his final time, and he qualifies for the field and he's contender.
Now, let me show you something else. The par that I have for Turf Paradise, and I know someone else in the room's got a par, just a little. The par I have, the 100 par at Turf Paradise, is 110 flat. Look at the race he won, and that's on a 16 variant, folks. Look at the race he won. 112-1 on an 18 variant. So if you took that line and adjusted it for Turf Paradise, it's a disaster. Okay. This is not a very fast horse. Yeah. Okay.
16. 110.
And a 16. But let me add something else to that. The Turf Paradise $10,000 horses are not interchangeable here. Like at Bay Meadows, you can take a horse for 10, a 100 horse, move it down here, and you're fine. Turf Paradise horses do not ship successfully at that level. That's one of the tracks that doesn't.
110 flat.
All right, now let's go back to this. Take a look at Quick the Tiger's last race. Oh, I didn't go that far, did I? Be my guest. What do you think about Big Bad Wolf? No. Doesn't fit your guidelines. He's a slow horse. The day he won, granted, it was a high variant, 30, but remember, the average variant was 23 over there. So, and this race went 149, 114, 2 to the 3/4. And he's just he'll be too sustained. He'll be just running along behind him. And if there's a decent horse in here, he won't get anywhere near him. Now, if there isn't a horse anywhere near the par, then you can open this race up a little bit and look at these other horses. But let's talk about that. The par is 100 at this race, right? Take a look at Quick the Tiger's last race. What's the track variant, the daily racing form variant that day? 11. What kind of an adjustment does it require to his pace line? Nothing, right? So now let's take a look at him for a minute. He wins in 111-1 with no adjustment. What does that equate to on your part-time chart? Anybody? 111-1. What is it? 97. Folks, everybody see that all right? Now, consider this. Quick the Tiger is the consensus horse and the favorite. He's a 97, which makes Dirty Old Man slightly less, right? If they were the best horses in this field, I would take a long look at Big Bad Wolf and some of these other horses we threw out for other reasons. Because, that figure is dismal compared to what it would take to win a race like this. Look at Quick the Tiger. Because we're going to equate this to Bold Current in a moment. Look at Quick the Tiger down on March 2nd, right? Now, he wins in slow time, 112, but he wins by 6. in a race that's got a par of 98, right? Then he runs well over his head several times. Then they drop him back down to about where he belongs, and he earns what? A 97. Okay. He's just... So now, when you look at this, you'll see his last race where he dropped from 40 to 16. That's a very steep drop. It's probably his last gasp as a runner, because when they dropped him down that far, they were trying to get rid of him, obviously. But where they dropped him to was about the right level, wasn't it? 16s are like 99s. That's a length lesson we have here. So they made a realistic drop with this horse last time. As big as it looks, it was a realistic drop.
He ran 30, 40.
Yeah, he did.
But he was no threat. Was he a threat? He was no threat to win the race. So.
No, but maybe he's going wrong. I would think that...
Well, that's what I'm saying. He is going wrong.
Yeah.
And often
when you see a horse make a big drop like that, and especially if they're all out to get to the win, getting it like in the last eighth of a mile, like this horse did last time, it's quite often the last gasp that horse has before it really goes wrong. Keen Lady's a good example of that. They dropped her from, what, 40 to 16. She had that one race left. Then in the next race, she regressed badly. This horse did too. So, let's look at Bold Current for just a moment, though. We have to adjust his line. We use a March 9th line. If we made him a contender, and that race is at a 100, let's go use the race. See, we're not locked into his last line. This horse has been off 49 days. We've decided that he's okay, that he's working often enough, that he fits the class of this race, that the drop is realistic, because if they're dropping him to 100, he's basically a 100 horse. That's where he should be. So let's use that race. The track variant that day is a 14. What is the Santa Anita zero adjustment range? 17 to 19, right? All right. How many variant points does it take him to get to a 17? Three, which is two lengths, right? Right? Okay. So that becomes 110 and 4. Adjust the second call by 1, which becomes 45 and 3. Leave the first fraction alone at 21-4. Everybody okay on that part of it? What about the change from Santa Anita to Hollywood Park? We take two lengths off the final from the Santa Anita, right? Because Santa Anita's a 111, Hollywood Park's a 110 and 3 with the same second call. Everybody clear on that? Everybody remember? Okay, so that's the other step here. Now, if you're using my variance or something like that, you just look up the variant. All right, you don't have to go through this, but you don't have that at other tracks, and not all of you have it here.
This is a 110 and 2.
That's the pace line for this horse.
And then you must probably adjust the half then,
huh? Well, no, because...
They transfer back and forth. In other words, Santa Anita and Hollywood were both... Remember last time? Okay. 21-4, 45-3, with a good final fraction, good final time of 110 and 2. Now, where is that on the part-time chart, 110 and 2? All right. 101, right? What does that say about this... If we're right on this horse, what does it say about this horse compared to Quick the Tiger and Dirty Old Man? Tells us a couple of things. First of all, it tells us that this horse at least meets par, but we already knew that from the part-time chart, that it should be about 100. It turns out to be a 101, so that's pretty close. It tells us that the two horses, the favorite of the race, Quick the Tiger, is far below par, so you'll want to bet against that horse all times, and that this horse at least fits it. Now, what about Doc Murray? Yes.
We have two horses that are below par, but you said bet against those type of horses all the time.
Right.
But if they were the highest ranked horses in this race, how would we handle the race then?
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I addressed that.
If Quick the Tiger and Dirty Old Man are the horses you wind up with when it's over, and they're both 97s and it requires a 101 in this race, what I always do is open up this race and go in and try to find other horses, Big Bad Wolf, and look for the rest of them that might not come over. Because too often, most of the time, when you're betting horses that are well below the par for the race, this is when you get the $100 horses, the $90 horses, the $70 horses, horses that wake up suddenly and knock over these horses. Because when they're well below par, You know, sometimes it'll stay that way. In other words, all the horses will be 97s. Everybody you can account for. Then pass the race. Because it'll, more than likely, it'll still wind up in an upset.